I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you, but I would rather have a flood in my house than to have a slow leak behind a wall. You know why? Because the flood I can fix. The slow leak behind the wall, you usually don't find those until something really bad happens. So there was a church Luann and I were in they had a parsonage, you know, a place for the pastor to live. And I remember we found some water in the basement and couldn't figure out where it came from. And so we cleaned it up. And then a few days later, it had rained. And so another puddle in the basement, so we couldn't figure it up. Luann thought I was just being messy, because I can be messy. And so we kept cleaning it up. Then finally we figured it out. There was a leak in the wall. And so we went in to tear it out, and sure enough, this house was the oldest house in that community. That's great for a parsonage. And so it's like 110 years old or something, and it had a coal chute in it. That's how old it was, that they used to bring by and deliver coal through that coal chute for the furnace, and the coal chute was leaking. And it just kept drip, 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 drip. When we tore it out, you know what we found? Mold. We found the 2x4s were rotted because it had been leaking for a rather long time and nobody knew about it. And that's the way it is with unforgiveness in your life and mine. We can have a slow leak in our relationship with somebody else. And if we're not careful over time, if we hold unforgiveness in our heart, like they do something and it's just like drip, 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 drip. And if we don't deal with it, but if we cover it up and we decide that we're not going to forgive them, after a while, our relationship ends up moldy. It ends up toxic, poisonous. The connectors between us and them can sometimes begin to rot out to where our relationship's not what it should be. Sometimes we have that with family because, well, after all, with family, you're stuck with them for a longer time. Other people, you have a bad relationship, maybe you get rid of them, but family's family, and you have to learn to deal with that. And it's real easy to let your relationship with other people become this toxic, broken thing because of the slow leak of unforgiveness in our hearts and in our lives. We've been in this series, Messy. We've been talking about relationships these last few weeks. This is the last message. And several of you say, amen. That's great. Because it's been, God's been really talking to us. He's talked about us about grace. He's talked to us about love. He's talked to us about holiness in the midst of our relationships. Today we're going to talk about how do you forgive somebody? Because it's very easy, isn't it, to let wounds and hurts cut so deep in your life that we get to a point where we're not willing to forgive the other person. It happens to us all the time. Here's the way unforgiveness works. Something like this. Someone offends you. They do something to you. You take offense, and then resentment and bitterness begin to build up in your heart. Now listen, in this world, all kinds of things offend us. Matter of fact, if we went around the room, probably all of us would have our own particular ways in which other people offend us, right? Somebody said something they shouldn't have said, or somebody didn't say something they should have said, so they did something to us they shouldn't have, or they didn't do something that we wanted them to do. Somebody didn't protect you. Somebody didn't stand up for you. Somebody ignored you. Somebody treated you unfairly. Someone made a sarcastic remark about something that you're kind of sensitive about. They didn't know it necessarily, but they made it, and there's offense. Nothing, you know, sometimes... You know, sometimes people don't say anything to you, and we're offended by that. Like, why are they ignoring me? Why aren't they talking about me? This is how unforgiveness and bitterness, resentment sets into our lives. It gets into our hearts. It starts with someone when someone offends us. And then the second thing is you take offense. Now, this is different. This is when you kind of take hold of it. You have a choice of whether you take offense. You have a choice of whether it becomes just a moment in your life or something that begins to define your life. You getting me? You have a choice in your life where you take hold of this thing and you hang on to it, or you just let it go. We have to determine whether this is something that happened to you or something that you carry with you. You decide whether you take offense. And you can't live in this world without being offended. I mean, first of all, if you take offense easily, get off Facebook right away, right? Because you see more people hacking on. People get more offended over stuff on Facebook. It's just incredible. If you get offended easily, don't leave your house. Matter of fact, never go shopping. I've probably been offended more times at Walmart than I can count. And sometimes it's just by what some of the people are wearing. But that's another matter. But you got to, you know, if you get offended, if you don't want to ever be, you know, have someone offend you, then kick everybody out of your house. Because we're flawed human beings. And we say things we shouldn't say. And we do things sometimes that we shouldn't do. And sometimes we do that stuff we screw up accidentally. We don't mean anything. It's just something we say or do offends someone else. Sometimes we're intentional about it. And we react to life sometimes. We talked about that a little bit in this series. There are probably lots of things in our life we'd like to take back. And maybe some of them we're okay with because we didn't mean anything by it in the first place. People will do things that offend you, but you have a choice of whether you will take offense. You can't live without someone offending you, but you can choose taking offense. It's one thing to have people throw something at you. It's another thing for you to catch it and hang on to it. It's one thing for people to throw something at you. It's another thing for you to catch it, hang on to it, cradle it, nurture it, think on it, dwell on it, feed it, nurture it. Do you know what I'm saying? Because in this world, you will have people hurl all kinds of things at you. You're the one who determines what you catch. You're the one who determines what you do with it. Taking offense is dangerous because when we take offense, you know what the next step is? Resentment and bitterness enter into our hearts. It gets deposited there. It gets embedded there. Sometimes it just gets stuck there to us. We don't know how to get rid of it. It ends up sometimes defining us. I'm always amazed at how we let what other people have done define who we are because we took offense and we hung on to it. But we do that. It begins to break down. You know what it also does? It also begins to break down not only our relationship with that person who did it, but often it will break down our relationship with other people. Because we took offense and we hung on to it, we don't trust anybody else. We're suspicious of other people because we got hurt here and we're not going to have that happen again. So we protect ourselves. And sometimes other people in your family, sometimes the other person in your relationship ends up paying the price of what someone did when they offended you and you took offense. And now that resentment and that bitterness not only poisoned that relationship, but it's poisoned your relationship with your spouse. It's poisoned your relationship with your kids. Poisoned your relationship with your parents. Psychologists tell us that often people use unforgiveness and being offended to manage our feelings of being disregarded, of being unimportant, of being guilty, of feeling devalued. In other words, I'm offended and I take offense in my anger. I use that as a way to protect myself because otherwise I don't feel worthy and I feel powerless and I feel rejected and I feel devalued and I feel unloved. That's what psychologists tell us. The reality is, you know it's true too. Why? Because at least if we're mad, we're in control of that. We use that anger and we use bitterness and resentment sometimes to take control of a life we don't understand. And for a follower of Jesus, not only is it unhealthy, period, for anybody, but as a follower of Jesus, it's particularly difficult because all of a sudden we're letting something unhealthy, we're letting something that's wrong, we're letting resentment and bitterness begin to define our lives instead of God and what God says about us and who God says we can be and what God says that we can do. Here's the thing. I believe that God's Spirit can work in your life in such a way that it will help you to forgive in situations you never thought that you would be able to forgive. It may not be in a moment. It may be a journey towards it. But some of us need to start that journey today. Some of us need to be free because some of us are ready to be freed. We're tired of letting that define us. We're tired of the bitterness and the resentment ruining our relationships with other people. We know what it's doing to our relationship with God. And we know, we need to give it. We need to forgive today. Others of us need to start to forgive. And it may take you time and time again. It may take you every day forgiving, and laying that down again and again. But you've got to begin somewhere. And I hope today that you'll start, because I think it is so important in relationships with one another. Life is messy, but we need to begin to let ourselves be set free. You need to be set free. And you say, well, what do you mean, me set free? They're the ones who hurt me. They need to be in jail. That's why I've got them in my own jail. No, listen. If you are angry this morning and you have bitterness and resentment, you're the prisoner this morning. When you don't forgive, you are punishing yourselves, not them. You're locking yourself in a prison for somebody else's crime. Whatever you're carrying in your life, they probably hadn't even thought about it. You get up every morning and you think about it. You have nightmares about it. You dream about it. You think about it. It gives you a sick feeling in your stomach. You get angry about it and worked up. And the whole time, they don't ever think about it. They may not even know. And even if they do, they're not getting up every morning thinking about you. They're not laying in bed at night thinking about what's happened to you. You're the one in prison. They don't lose a wink of sleep. You're the one who's held captive. Release your resentment and your anger and your hurt, and you're going to find that the person that you set free is you. It's not them, it's me. So it's possible. No matter how deeply they hurt you, it's not about what they did. It's about what God wants to do in your life. Let me give you a verse. This is a hard one. Mark 11. And when you stand praying, that means when you go to church, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Now, when you look at that verse, you know, often we look to the original language, right? The Greek that this was written in. So I've looked at the original language, and that word for anything, you know what it means? Anything. No exceptions. That word anyone, you know who that means? Everyone. No exceptions. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no rules. It's forgive. If you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, no matter what it is. Well, come on, Pastor. Well, you know, you don't know what they've done to me. You don't know how bad it is. I mean, you know, I'm sure Jesus wouldn't even forgive these people. That's how certain I am of the fact that, you know, I need to be mad. Pastor, I'm sure that this applies to 99.9%, but I am in that small percentage. I am the exception. We're always the exception, aren't we? Nope. No exceptions here. No exceptions. No degree of evil. Doesn't matter how bad it is. There's no exceptions for any. There's no getting out of this. If you hold anything against anyone, forgive them. What? So what? So I'll feel better? No. So that your Father in heaven can forgive you. You don't have to be a scholar to read this. I mean, right? It's like, if I want to be forgiven, I have to forgive. If I don't forgive them, I am putting my own soul in spiritual jeopardy. Forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. I mean, you want God to forgive you? Forgive them. That's something, the Lord's Prayer says something like that. Forgive us our trespasses, what? As we forgive those who trespass against us. They go together. And here's the thing this morning. You say, I don't know that I can't forgive. No, listen. If God says you can, you can. If Jesus says that it was, if Jesus tells us it's important, then he made a way for us to be able to do that. I mean, I believe that with all my heart. And so I want to talk to you this morning. You ever heard the story of the prodigal son? There's this son who wants his dad to sell everything that, you know, he wants his inheritance. He wants to leave home. And when the father gives him his inheritance, the son leaves home and he starts to spend all his money in crazy ways. He parties it all away until all the money is gone. And he goes broke. And he gets a job finally. He's got to get a job now because he didn't have anything. And so he gets a job taking care of pigs. which if you were Jewish was awful because pigs were, I mean, that they were dirty, made him unclean. I mean, that's the worst job you could have if you were Jew. And he's sitting there and he begins to think, and he's thinking about going home. You know, the longest journey you'll ever make will not be by train or plane or automobile, but it'll be coming to your senses. I heard somebody else say that. So all these trips, it's just sometimes coming to our senses. And sitting there, he starts to think, and he finally comes to his senses, and he says, you know, the servants at my dad's house are better off than me. So I'm going to go home, and I'm going to beg him to take me back. He doesn't even have to take me. I'm not even going to beg him to take me back as a son. I'm going to beg him just to take me as a servant. And so I want to pick up the story in Luke 15, verse 20. This is the son. So he got up, and he went to his father. So he gets up out of the pig pen, cleans himself off, and he goes to seek his father and to fall on his face and ask his father to forgive him, take him back. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and he kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But dad is not even listening to the words that are coming out of his mouth. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. And let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. And a lot of times when we look at this story, we focus on the son, right? Because we're the son in the story, right? Because the Bible says we've all sinned against God. We've all gone our own way. We're like the son. We've wanted to take things on our own. We go and we squander all that God blesses us with on our own living, on our own choices, bad choices. And then one day we come back to God. One day we come to our senses and say, you know, if God would just take me back, if God would just even make me a servant. So we focus in because we are the son. But I want to focus in for just a moment on the father, because I don't think we talk enough about him, because he's the one doing the forgiving. And I believe that God wants us to forgive the way he's forgiven us. And so I wanted you to think for just a minute about the way this father forgave this son of his. Because if I'm going to understand how I'm supposed to forgive you, and I'm supposed to forgive you, and you're supposed to forgive me, and how forgiveness is supposed to work, I got to understand how it works in God's heart and mind, how the Father forgives. Now, you may look at the son and think, well, it's no big deal for him to ask for money. My kids do it all the time. But this was a bigger deal than that. If you take it in the context of Jesus' day, what this son was asking was really a real poke in the father. I mean, it was very destructive to the father. He basically was telling the father, I wish you were dead. I want you to give me everything I'd get if you were dead. I'd just soon it be like you're dead to me. And for the father to turn this stuff over, it's not like you get $5 out of your wallet and hand it to your kid. The father may have even had to sell property and liquidate some assets in order to give the son half of everything that he had. He had another son, a brother, we'll talk about towards the end for just a minute. And so for him to do this, for him, I mean, this was about as wounding as you can get to a parent. Because I'm a parent, I'm a grandparent, and I understand that if my kids told me, I wish you were dead, you're dead to me, there's nothing worse that you could probably say to me. This was a deep, deep wound. This was about as gnarly as it can get in a relationship. But the father refused to be offended. You see, the offense was given, but the father quickly let go and refused to be offended. How do you know that? Because when the son came back, the father was doing what? Looking down the road for him. I mean, before the son maybe even got in the front gate of the property, he could see him and he went running to him. He already in his heart had forgiven him. He already in his heart had come to a place. He did not let the offense define him, and he decided not to bear that. I'm sure he was heartbroken his son was gone, but he was believing and anticipating and wanting and desiring for his son to come back. So he was ready. He was ready to forgive. He was on it. He was so excited to see him coming down the road. And you may say to me, you know what, Pastor? I can't do. You know, there's no way. I can't. Hey, how do you get to that level of forgiveness? It's kind of inhuman. I mean, that's God, Pastor. I mean, he surely doesn't. I'm sure it worked for him, but not for me. This is not something I have in me. I beg to differ. Not only is it possible for you to give, it is the will of God for you to forgive. Listen to me. If you are living and you have unforgiveness in your heart towards somebody, that is not God's will for your life. And so God doesn't want you to live that way, and God wants to provide a way for you to be able to forgive so you can be free. We've talked the last few weeks about how we're spirit and you have a mind that's housed in a body. And the Holy Spirit, he speaks, you know, to your spirit for you to forgive. And then sometimes our mind, you know, if it's not renewed, says no. Every time you're in a situation where somebody says you ought to forgive and you begin to make excuses, you know what you're doing? You're not exhibiting the mind of God. You're exhibiting the mind of this world. You're not listening to the Father. You're listening to the enemy. You're not quoting God. You're quoting your enemy, the devil. That's what's coming out of your mouth. And what it means is, if I say to you, you need to forgive them, and your mind pushes back, it means your mind still needs to be renewed. Because you're thinking like the world, you're not thinking like God. You've not put on that. You've not let that part of your mind be renewed. We talked about how sometimes there's things in us that push back. And when those things push back, we need to allow God to help us to move and to not do that. So how do I allow God to renew my mind when it comes to forgiveness? I want to give you three things this morning. Three things out of Scripture that if you allow them to permeate your mind, it'll help you cooperate with the Spirit in your life, and you can be free this morning. You can learn to be free when people offend you, and they will. You do not have to take offense. But if you'll apply what God's Word says here, you can respond in the way the Spirit would have you respond. You can forgive and therefore keep all the bitterness and all the resentment out of your heart and life. That's God's will for your life, that you be free of that this morning. And so here's three things that you need to allow, three ways to receive what I'm telling you this morning. First of all is this: you got to make the choice. You got to make the choice to forgive. You got to decide to do it. You have to decide that you want to be free from resentment and bitterness, that you want to be free from unforgiveness. Now listen, some of you say, well, I just don't, my emotions. Listen, if you wait on your emotions, you'll never forgive. Emotions, they aren't good when it comes to this kind of thing. If you're going to be led by you got to decide, am I going to be led by my feelings or am I going to be led by God's word? And who he says I can be, and do what he says I can do. You got to decide. You're going to let your emotions rule, or are you going to let God's word rule? And here's the thing. You got to make the choice. In the story of the prodigal son we just talked about, right? The father made the choice to forgive. He's looking down the road. He ran to him. He embraced him. He kissed him. He wasn't even listening to what the son was saying out of his mouth. He didn't wait for an apology. He didn't wait for him to say, I'm sorry, I did wrong. He didn't wait for any excuses. He didn't wait for the son to say anything. Immediately, he hugs him. He embraces him. Forgiveness starts long before that because the father had already decided into his heart, I'm going to forgive him. He comes back, I am going to forgive him. Listen, some of you are waiting on someone to say something to you and ask forgiveness, and I hate to disappoint you. That day may never come. Some of you are waiting for someone to say they're sorry and they're dead. And unless you're going and paying for a seance, and if you are, we have another issue we need to talk about. It ain't coming. And here's what you've done. You've given the power of forgiveness to someone else. You need to take it back. It's not about that. I'll Forgiveness doesn't come because someone says they're sorry. Forgiveness comes because you, believing what God has forgiven you, forgive them. They may never say, I was wrong. They may never say, I was at fault, I wounded you, I'm sorry. You may want that and you may long for that, but it may never happen. When you're waiting for someone to come and apologize, you're giving the keys of freedom over to somebody else. Why would you do that? You need to make the choice. You need to make the choice to forgive. You need to take the keys back and say, I will not be a prisoner to what you did to me. I will not let what you did to me define me. I will, matter of fact, I'm going to forgive you and let it go because I want to be who God wants me to be. And I can't be dragging around the weight of what you did with me around the world. I want to be free. Thanks, honey. I know this is hard. I've been living with it. But I also believe it's entirely possible. Because I believe today in a world, you know what? Well, I'm going to start preaching. I got to quit. All right, anyway. Listen, you've got to make the choice. You're the one who's held captive. You've got to be set free. Here's another thing you can do. Not only you have to make the choice, but you have to pray for them. Here's another scripture. This one's tough too. Luke 6:27. But to you who are listening, I say, this is Jesus, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. You do that this week? Did you do that? Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who mistreat you. That's a tough, tough bit of scripture, those two verses. Love, do good, bless, and pray for your enemies, for people who hate you, for people who curse you and mistreat you. But here's the thing. We were all enemies of God at one time. All of us, the Bible says. We all cursed him and did what we wanted. We mistreated him. We all, like sheep, had gone astray. We all were lost. And yet God loved us. And Jesus willingly died on the cross for us. Who are we as Christians if we are not people who love those who wrong us? For too long, and I speak this in the context of, I've been a Nazarene since I was 8 years old. I don't know why they let me join the church at 8. But anyway, so I've got almost 50 years in this denomination. Here's what I'm going to tell you. We for too often had defined ourselves by what we did or didn't do. We too often defined ourselves because we didn't smoke or chew or run with women who did. No, or women who do. I'm getting my rhymes mixed up. Man, too long we define ourselves. We don't go to movies and we don't dance and we don't drink alcohol and we don't do this. Listen, that ought not be the differential between us and the world. The differential between us and the world ought to be we love our enemies. We do good to those who hate us. We bless those who curse us and we pray for those who mistreat us. That would differentiate us from the world in a heartbeat. That's the kind of church God calls us to be. That's the kind of people God calls us to be. But we can't be that kind of church unless we are that kind of people. It starts with my individual choice every day to forgive and to pray for those who are my enemies, for those who would harm me, for those who would do ill against me. If dying on the cross, if Jesus dying on the cross means anything, it means that he not only died for my sins, but he died for the sins of those people who mistreat me. He died for the sins of those who hurt me. He died for those that have been committed against me. So Jesus says, pray. You say, man, Pastor, I'd rather lose an arm than pray for them. And after all, Pastor, praying doesn't make a difference in them. I know, silly. It's supposed to make a difference in you. It may never make a difference in them, but it will make a difference in how you see them. Because when you pray for them, you'll begin to see them through God's eyes. You'll begin to see them the way God sees them. And not with anger, but with compassion, knowing that they're hurting. You know, when you pray for them, you don't want to pray like, oh, Lord, smite my enemy, you know. Beat them into thy holy ground, you know. Smash them with thy holy fist, Lord, I pray that they meet you soon, very soon, and go wherever. I don't think they're going to meet you, Lord. They're going to meet somebody else, but may they go there. Not that kind of prayer. I love what he says here. We're supposed to bless people. Did you bless somebody who hurt you this week? Did you bless somebody who was your enemy? Did you bless somebody who cursed you? Because that's the people of God. That's the kind of people we're supposed to be. I know it's really hard, but it's not so much about them as it is us. Here's the last thing. I'm going to give as I've been given. We've talked about this all through the series. I give grace because he's given grace to me. I love because he loved me first. And I forgive because he's forgiven me. You know, in the church today, we may not have so much a problem about forgiving them. Our first problem may be embracing the forgiveness that he gives us. Because a forgiven people will be a forgiving people. Ephesians chapter 4, another hard verse. Listen to this. Get rid of all bitterness. That word all means all. Rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. How? Just as in Christ God forgave you. How do I forgive? I forgive as I've been forgiven. I have been forgiven for a lot in my life. A lot of things that I'm not proud of. I did. I joined the church when I was 8. I was baptized when I was 12. But when I became a teenager, I rebelled. I did a lot of things that I'm ashamed of. Or I was ashamed of. I came back to God my freshman year of college. And all that stuff I was ashamed of, he forgave. I've done a bunch of stuff. Done a lot of stuff in the last 35 years. Even as a follower of Jesus, I've failed and I've stumbled. I'm enormously human. If you don't know that, ask my wife. And there's a lot of things I've needed him to forgive me for again, and he's always been there for me. And I think about the fact that for me and for you, that he came this season of the year. He came. Jesus came to this earth, born of a virgin. He lived 33 years without sin. He took on our sin. He took on my sin, your sin, their sin. He was beaten and ripped and torn for our transgressions, and he hung on a cross, nails in his hands and his feet. And he died this excruciating death with a crown of thorns pressed on his head. He went to great lengths to forgive you and me and the person that hurt you. None of us will have to be beaten or mocked or hung on a cross in order to forgive them. We don't have to, because he's already done it. He forgives completely, not only what you've done, but what he gives you is enough forgiveness that you can forgive them for what they've done. But if I forgive them, they'll think it's okay to do. No, they won't. Forgiveness is not validation. You're listening to the world again. When God forgave me, it wasn't validation. All that stuff I did was right. It's not. If anything, when you forgive, you're releasing them into his hands. Matter of fact, when you forgive somebody, you know what you're doing? I'm not the judge over you anymore. I'm going to put you in God's hands. He's the judge. I'm not going to be your judge and jury. Oh, I'm not going to be God in your life. I forgive you, and I turn you, I release you over to him and put you into his hands. And I'm no longer going to be captive again. I've been forgiven for so much. Who in the world am I to hold something against you? Do you know in this story, there's another person in it, the brother. And the brother, if you know the story at all, when he heard the party was going on and the prodigal son had returned, he went out behind the barn and pouted. He was mad. He wouldn't come into the party. He didn't think, and I know if we often talk about, well, he didn't think the son deserved whatever, but you know what? I'm a brother. I don't think he wanted to forgive his brother for what he did and what he put dad through. And the father went out to him and he said, come on, son, your brother's home. Just come celebrate with us. And this morning, I believe the Father is standing in front of you. And you, if you have unforgiveness in your heart this morning, then you're that brother out behind the barn pouting. And he's saying, I let it go. Forgive. Make the decision. Pray for them. Bless them. Give as you've been given. And come on in. Because here's the reality. If we take what God's word says for, if you will not forgive, I don't see any scriptural basis to think that you've been forgiven. So I guess when it gets to the end, it really is all about you. Am I going to hang on to something and put my own soul in jeopardy and peril? Or am I going to let go of them and forgive them so God may forgive me? I don't know what your choice is this morning. Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to celebrate communion this morning because here's the thing. Every time we celebrate communion, you know what we're celebrating? That we've been forgiven. We celebrate his body which was broken for us, his blood that was spilled for the forgiveness of our sins. You do not have to be a Nazarene or a member of our church to take this. It's open to anyone. The bread this morning is all gluten-free, so you don't have to worry about that, so we can all partake of the same loaf. And in a minute, I'm going to invite you down to take communion. But here's what I want you to do before that. I want you to take your stick. I'm going to go ahead and invite those who are going to help me with communion and the praise team to come on back this morning. My communion servers and helpers. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your stick this morning. Here's what I want this to represent today. I want this to represent that thing that someone did to you. I want you to take that stick this morning and I want you to make a choice. Am I willing to forgive them this morning? We're going to pray in just a minute, so you may already know what it is. And if you do this morning, I invite you to maybe write it on that stick if you can. If you don't have a pen or want to, I have something written on mine this morning. I've got the initials of a person that I need to forgive today because I've let some gunk sink down in there and God's been showing me this week and making me very uncomfortable. And what I want you to do this morning is when you get ready for communion, once we're going to, you make that choice, I'm going to forgive them today and this represents what they did. This represents my hurt, my pain. And I want you this morning, we're going to pray together in just a minute and I want you to pray for them. And I want you to pray that God would bless them, that God would heal them. You know, hurting people hurt hurting people. And so they're hurt this morning. That's the reason maybe they hurt you. I want you to pray for their wellness and their being. I want you to give them forgiveness as he's forgiven you. And then at the close of our prayer this morning, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come up and take communion today. There's a basket on each table we take by intinction here. And so you'll come and get a piece of bread, and then you'll go to the person in front of you. We'll go down these center aisles here, and then you'll go back around the outside or down the middle if you're in one of these sections. Here's what I want you to do. Before you take a piece of bread, I want you to give up your stick. You may want to break it this morning. And before you take a piece of bread, I want you to drop it in the basket. Because here's the thing. If I'm going to celebrate the forgiveness he's given me, I need to give that forgiveness to somebody else. Now, some of you may say, I'm not ready to do that this morning. Hang on to your stick until you can. You're welcome to still come take communion if you'd like. But I would pray that today, maybe some of you can't this morning, that it would begin a journey for you. And you would find some way every morning to pray about that need until you're able to do what God in his will and in his power is able to do in your life this morning. I believe you can forgive. It's not just about my confidence in you. It's about what I know he can do. It's about what I know he's done in my life. Some of you can testify to the power of forgiveness when you've given it. Let go this morning. You don't have to be captive today. You can be free this morning. because of what Jesus has done for you today. Will you bow your heads and pray? Father, this morning, I pray that you would help us. We need help today. For some of us, the wound is so deep. The pain is so difficult. What they did to us has marked us and marred us. God, we need your help this morning. I can't find it in myself to forgive them. I need you to help me forgive them. But I have decided this morning that I'm going to let myself loose. I've decided this morning that I will be free. I want that. I want to let go because I know the only person I'm hurting is me. So God, will you help me this morning? I pray for them. I pray for their wholeness, for their blessing. I believe what your scripture says. I bless them this morning. And I pray that they would be healed as I'm being healed. And God, this morning, will you help me to release what you have given to me? I forgive them because you have forgiven me. I let them go because you've let me go. I am your son. And when I came home, you came running down the road. You put the ring on my finger, the robe on my back, shoes on my feet. And we celebrated. God, I desire that for my enemy today and that one who hurt me, that they would know the forgiveness that I feel, and I don't want anything to steal that from me today. So I let them go this morning. I broke the stick, and I forgive them this morning. And Father, today I celebrate my freedom in you as we take communion this morning. For on that night with your disciples, you broke bread and you said, take and eat this. This is my body broken for you. Eat this and remember. And Father, you took the cup and you passed it and you said, drink this. This is my blood of the new covenant, which I have shed for you and for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink it. So Lord, as I celebrate my freedom today, I release every prisoner of my heart, every enemy, every person that I have bound by my anger. I'm going to let it go this morning so I can be free in you today. I love you this morning. We give ourselves to you. This morning, if you'd like to come take communion, I'd invite you to come. We do have Jimmy and Wayne will come to those in the back who aren't able to come this morning. But if you're able, I invite you to the table this morning. Can I pray for you this morning? For some of us, it was hard to put that stick in that basket, God. But we're trusting your word today. And I believe you honor obedience in our lives. So this morning we've forgiven. Will you heal the wounds? Will you take away the hurt? Will you fill us with the joy that comes from following you and trusting you? Will you fill us with a peace that the world cannot know on its own, but the peace that comes from what Jesus Christ died to give us on the cross? May we live this week as a forgiven people who are forgiving others, so that the world may know you live, so that the world may know you exist. May the difference between us and them not be our beliefs and not be in what we do, but may the difference between us and the world, the thing they look to and go, I would like to have that, is forgiveness in our hearts, not just from you, but in giving it to others this morning. And so I pray a blessing, the blessing of 2 Corinthians 13,
Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. May God bless you this week as you live forgiven and forgiving. Shake hands with somebody. Be dismissed this week. Have a great week. God bless you.